Welcome to this edition of PowerPoint with Jack Graham. A little later in the program, we'll tell you how you can get Dr. Graham's book, Angels. But first, here's his message, Winning Life's Battles.
You are in the army now. And the fact is, you're in God's army. And you have changed sides. Before you met Jesus Christ, you were on the wrong side. You were on the losing side of this war. But once you met Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are now a part of this army of one, the family of God, together in Christ. And you know, our effectiveness in enjoying our spiritual blessings depends upon our being strong in the Lord. The way that we appropriate the blessings of Christ and walk day by day in the Christian life is to war and win in the name of Jesus. This war that we face, the battles that we deal with day by day, represents an invisible and insidious war. This war is a supernatural war. It is dirty, it is dangerous, it is deadly. And in our times, it seems that all the artillery of hell is being unleashed against this world. We are undergoing an invasion from hell, and believers need to wake up. The fact is, you're in the war, whether you realize it or not. And the stakes are high. Heaven and hell, life and death. Because you see, the Christian life is not a playground, it is a battleground. We are called as sons and called to be servants of God, but also as soldiers for Christ. Not soldiers of fortune, but soldiers of faith. We're told in the Bible that we're to fight the good fight, that we are to war as Christian soldiers, that the Church of Jesus Christ is to march onward and upward. This is our military posture. Jesus said that he will build his church and the gates of hell will not prevail against his church. This is the glorious picture of God's church conquering for the Lord Jesus Christ, and even the very fortresses of hell will not be able to stand against the armies of God. The fact is, however, we need to wake up to the fact that we do have an enemy. We have an awesome adversary who, apart from our relationship with Jesus Christ, is much stronger than any of us, much stronger than all of us put together. We must not underestimate the power of the enemy. Now, there's some people who want to laugh the devil off and assign it to the medieval myth, but the fact is, the devil exists. We need to have a healthy understanding and respect for our enemy. In order to win the war, you must first respect your enemy. On the other hand, having said we must not underestimate the devil, we must not overestimate him. Some people live in an almost fanatical fear of the devil. And their focus is upon him and chasing the devil and seeking exorcisms and seeking to find demons everywhere. Now, demons do exist. But remember, for every angel that fell out of heaven, a demonic spirit that was once a holy angel that fell, there are two angels who did not fall. And greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Some people want to blame all their problems on the devil. The devil made me do it. Or I have a demon. And there are all kinds of crazy ideas today being passed about the work of demons and Satan and so forth. Again, we affirm the power of Satan, and we are called to conflict, and every believer is called to battle. But remember that we have faith in Jesus Christ, and the faith that we have in Christ is our victory. The Bible tells us that in the last time, the devil is going to become more and more involved in the culture, and in these days, it seems that the devil is pressing. It's a full court press, if you will. He knows his time is short and the clock is running out towards his own judgment. And so Satan's purpose now in these last days is to take as many people to hell with him as possible. So having said that, we need to wake up to the war. We need to get in the battle and learn how to war and win for Jesus Christ. How do we face life's battles? Look with me in Ephesians chapter 6, and let's begin reading in verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Take up the armor of God and stand against the enemy. Let's think about our enemy. Let's identify him for a moment. For as I said, every army and every soldier needs to understand the enemy. He's called in the Bible the devil, the accuser of the brethren. He's called Satan, the adversary. He's described as the tempter. Jesus called him a liar and a murderer. He is described as the wicked one, a roaring lion, a beguiling serpent. He's even mentioned in the Bible as an angel of light and the prince of this world and the God, little g, of this age. He is real. He does exist. And one of his most clever ruses is to tell people that he doesn't exist, to hide behind the cloak of darkness and deception. And when we see our world, when we are in this arena that we call life, we know that there is an unseen enemy, not just the spirit of evil, but rather a very personal devil who is real and who is powerful. Now, the question often is raised, even among children, how did the devil become the devil? Why does God allow the devil to exist? Why did God, who is perfect, create the devil? Now, the Bible tells us that in the beginning, even before the beginning, Satan worshiped God. Ezekiel 28:11-19, and also in Isaiah chapter 14, verses 12 through 17, we get a glimpse behind the scenes as to how the devil became the devil. He was known as Lucifer, the son of the morning. He apparently, according to these passages, was the leader of worship among the heavenly realms. He was a holy angel created by God. But one day, Lucifer said, I will exalt myself above the throne of God. He thought he was better than God, bigger than God, greater than God. He desired the worship that God received. And so in rebellion against holy God, Lucifer raised up his own pride against God Almighty. As a result, Lucifer, the son of the morning, was cast out of heaven and became the father of the night, Satan. And since that day, this conflict between good and evil, between God and Satan, has existed and exists to this day until the day that God puts an end to it. You see, Satan is a created being. He is not an eternal being as God is an eternal being. Though he's a spiritual being and a supernatural being, he is not an eternal being. Therefore, he is limited in his power, in his knowledge, and in his activity. For example, God is omnipotent. God is all-powerful. But Satan is not all-powerful. His power is limited by the hand of God. God is omniscient. God knows all things. But Satan is not all-knowing. There are certain things that he does not know and that he cannot know. And then Satan is not all-powerful. But while he is limited, he lives. And he rules over a dark domain of death and destruction. And we cannot defeat this enemy in our own strength and in our own power. He is a supernatural being, but not only is he a supernatural being, he is a subtle being. That's why verse 11 in our passage tells us that we're to put on the whole armor of God, that we are able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, what are some of the wiles or the strategies of the devil? Well, he has strategies against the world, those who are outside the family of God, those who are in the world. And you know what his strategy is in the world? One, it is to prevent the witness of the gospel. To prevent the witness of the gospel. Satan desires to keep the word of God from reaching the hearts of men and women. You see, when the word of God is shared, when the word of God is preached, it's not enough simply to hear the word of God, but rather to receive the word of God, to invite Jesus into your life and to receive God's word and God's truth. And when the word of God is proclaimed or shared, it is the devil's purpose to snatch it away, to keep an unbeliever from responding in truth. It is only in prayer that we can advance the gospel so that the message of the word of God can penetrate the hard hearts of unbelievers. But it is the influence of the evil one when the gospel is being preached, when the word of God is being shared, just like right now, to move in behind the scenes and snatch away the word of God. Not only does he snatch away the word of God and hinder the proclamation of the gospel, but he seeks to blind, and in fact does, according to 2 Corinthians 4, 3 and 4, blind the minds of unbelievers. Says concerning these unbelievers, but even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose mind the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe. If you do not know Jesus Christ, if you don't have faith in your heart by trusting in Christ, then you have a mental block, a mental blindness to this truth. And that is the work of Satan. It is the work of the enemy to keep you from understanding so that you can respond to the gospel. Often people say, I just don't get it. And they're clueless as to the power of the message of Christ and of the salvation that is in our God. So people outside of the family of God are blinded.
You're listening to PowerPoint with Jack Graham and his message, Winning Life's Battles. Pastor, this month we have a special gift for our listeners who give a gift to PowerPoint. It's your book, Angels. What can you tell us about this powerful resource?
In my book, Angels, I show you how to see past the thin veil that separates our reality from the angelic world and to discern the divine activity that is deciding on life's journey today. Angels exist, and I believe that angels are all around us today. They are worshipers of God, and they are servants, ministers to God's children. Angels are working behind the scenes in the drama of life as God's messengers. They are warriors and servants of God to execute His will. And it's important that you understand the purpose of angels in your life so that you won't be confused by some of the myths and movies and television shows and books that are more fictional than fact. My book on angels is our gift to you to say thank you for your financial support to keep PowerPoint broadcasting on this station.
Call today and get Angels as our thank you for your gift. Call 1-800-795-4627. That's 1-800-795-4627. Or text the word PowerPoint to 313131. That's PowerPoint to 313131. Now let's get back to today's message. Winning life's battles.
I'll tell you something else the devil does in this world, and that is to pervert God's word. No wonder Paul said he manifests himself often as an angel of light. Satan has a counterfeit gospel and a phony message. And there are men and women in the pulpits today who are denying the authority of Scripture, who deny the person and work of Jesus Christ, his deity, his virgin birth, his sinless life, his substitutionary death, his bodily resurrection, and his visible return, denying all these essential truths, non-negotiable truths of the Christian faith. There are those who preach and cults who practice an abuse of the salvation of God in Christ by grace and grace alone through faith, who deny the reality of sin and the judgment of God, who preach a phony, baloney gospel and a message, and hundreds of thousands of people are sitting in churches numbed and neutralized by this empty gospel, all because of the work of Satan to pervert and distort the truth of God. Not only that, but politicking in the world. That's what Satan does. He influenced governments and nations. Read Isaiah 14, Ezekiel 28, Daniel chapter 10, and you will discover that Satan is at work behind the scenes in the highest halls of human government. Paul spoke in Ephesians 6 here of principalities and powers and rulers in the dark places. I can assure you that Satan is involved in the highest levels of government and working in a darkness to influence the minds and the hearts of those who rule. In the last days, Satan will bring about an Antichrist, the last world leader, who will organize and galvanize the governments of this nation in a false gospel and a false government that will bring about the great tribulation in life. But I'm pointing out that Satan is involved, insidiously, invisibly involved in politicking God's world and God's rule and government. But that's Satan's work in the world. What about his work within the believer? Now, while Satan cannot possess a believer, He can certainly influence Christians. You say, how is that? One, by creating doubt in our minds. The battleground is the human heart or the human mind, the imagination. The mind is the hard drive, if you will, of our lives. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. That being the case, Satan seeks to beguile believers, working in their minds. It's with our minds that we think, with our minds we remember, with our minds we project the future. It's with our minds that we consider and contemplate. And so, of course, Satan will seek to attack the mind, the imagination. And our minds, therefore, are vulnerable and impressionable, and we must make sure that our focus stays upon Jesus Christ, that our minds are full of the Word of God, because Satan attacks us with the world and the flesh, the imagination of the mind. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 3, he talks about these strongholds of the imagination, these fortresses in our brains that are built up, gripped by the power of Satan. How does it happen? It happens when we begin to think and to contemplate and to fantasize about things that Satan puts in our hearts and our minds. It concerns me today. There are things that used to be taboo that weren't even spoken of in public that is now public information to children, to teenagers. There's now a kind of public acceptance of things, and we are entertaining ideas. We are entertaining thoughts. We are entertaining subjects in our minds that ultimately could bring us down. That's the work of Satan, creating this confusion in the human mind. Beware the mind benders. Beware those things that come across the theater of your mind that come from Satan. Not only does he create doubt, but he persecutes believers. Revelation 2:10 says, "Do not fear any of those things which you're about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life." Satan attacks us physically from time to time. Did you know there are more people being persecuted for their Christian faith in the world than ever before? And while we may not be under the physical attack of the enemy, we must be aware that Satan can come against us physically. He can come against our marriages, our families. Some of the struggles that people face in their homes and their families is devil-directed. Also, the devil seeks to hinder our service for Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians 2:18 says, "Therefore, we wanted to come to you, even I, Paul," he wanted to go and get the gospel to the people at Thessalonica. And he said, "I wanted to come to you time and again." He said, "I've been wanting to do this for a long time." But he said, "Satan hindered us." Isn't that amazing? As powerful as Paul was, full of the Spirit as Paul was, as dynamic and as aggressive as Paul was in getting out the gospel, Paul said, "I wanted to go and get the gospel over there to Greece, to Thessalonica, but the devil kept us from doing it." So we need to be praying, don't we, that the Word of God will go out, that the work of Jesus Christ will not be hindered. Because when you read the text, he speaks later in Ephesians 6 about praying always. And then Paul said, look at it down there. He said, "And pray for me that the gospel will go out, that the gospel will move unhinderedly into the world." Another way the devil influences Christians is by infiltrating the church, seeking to destroy and defame its testimony or to divide its ministry. If an army is going to be effective, an army has to be together, marching under its commander-in-chief. So Satan knows if he can infiltrate the army, if he can get inside the church and divide the people of God, then he has won a great victory. The early church, they faced an attack both from the outside, a blatant outside attack. One of the chief persecutors of the church was Saul of Tarsus, who was on his way to seek and kill, destroy the church of Jesus Christ. When he met Jesus, was dramatically saved, and Saul the murderer became Paul the missionary. And God used that rabbi converted to Christ to change the world. So the devil goes, aha, plan A didn't work, let's go to plan B. And that is infiltrating the church. And so the early church, he sought to infiltrate it with false doctrine and false teaching and lies and so forth. Subtle infiltration. 2 Corinthians 11:13-15. For such are false apostles and deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. You see, Satan sought to get inside the church, to do an inside job and defeat the ministry of the congregation. How many times have we seen the witness of the church neutralized, the witness of God's people destroyed because of infighting and backbiting and criticism and division and distortion and all the rest? That is the work of Satan. And then, of course, Satan tempts the Christian to sin. Through self-reliance, doubt, lying, worldliness, pride, discouragement. Sometimes Satan comes against us with temptation and he seeks to glamorize sin. Oh, it looks good. It looks pleasurable, satisfying, wonderful. Just do this. Enjoy the rush. Get excited. Do what you want to do. Sometimes he comes at us like that, glamorizing sin. But most of the time, his tactic, his wily, wicked work is to come in behind the scenes and minimize sin. And it'll sound something like this. Just lower your standards a little bit. Watch this. Look at this. Think about this. I wonder what the other side's doing. Wouldn't you like to know? Just go ahead. Nobody will ever know. You see, that's how the devil works. He just minimizes everything. And then you find yourself in the clutches and the ravages and the consequences of sin. It's all so subtle, all so behind the scenes. Well, the devil is at work, isn't he? So how do we defeat the devil? How do we win this battle? We do it by claiming and living in God's power and in His provision and protection. That's why verse 10 says, stand in the Lord and in the power of His might. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Now listen to this. We don't fight for victory. We fight from victory. In other words, our victory was assured at the cross. There are battles to fight, but the war is over. The war is won, and guess what? Jesus wins. And because Jesus wins, we win. When Jesus cried out, "It is finished," he didn't mean he was finished. He meant the work was finished and that Satan was finished. He said, "I saw Satan falling like lightning from the sky." The works of the power of the enemy were defeated. A death blow was delivered at the cross and by the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And therefore, in Christ, we stand in His victory. We experience victory in Jesus Christ, and we have power, which is really authority. We have power over the works of the enemy because of what Jesus Christ has done. And we can live in this victory every day by putting on the armor of God, by praying, by wielding the sword of the Spirit and the truth that Jesus Christ has conquered. And therefore, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. In the power of Jesus Christ, win life's battles by trusting and living in the power of His grace and of His love.
You're listening to PowerPoint with Jack Graham and today's message, Winning Life's Battles. The spiritual battle that's raging around us couldn't be more evident. And as a member of Christ's church, you have the support of His mighty angels to win the fight. In his book, Angels, Dr. Graham shows you how to tap into the support God has given you through His angels so you can stand strong and defeat the enemy in the fight for our culture. Angels is our thanks for your gift today to help boldly proclaim the truth of the gospel and the hope it brings to more people around the world through PowerPoint. This is the last day of this offer, so call today. Call 1-800-795-4627. That's 1-800-795-4627. You can also text the word PowerPoint to 313131. Text PowerPoint to 313131.
And don't forget to visit jackgraham.org where you can shop our e-store, give a gift online, or sign up for Dr. Graham's free daily email devotional. Our website, again, is jackgraham.org. Pastor, what is your PowerPoint for today?
First of all, you and I need to recognize that we do have an enemy, and his name is Satan. We need to understand that he is not only a fact, but he is a powerful force. Too many people are deceived into thinking that the devil doesn't even exist, that he's the figment of our imagination. But let me assure you, the devil is real. He's real, and he's on a mission of destruction. You cannot and must not attempt to defeat him in your own strength. The devil is a master of deceit, and he's constantly working to keep people in darkness and to lure believers away from the truth. And one of the primary ways he tempts people to sin is by attacking their minds. It's important to stay alert to the fact that the devil is relentlessly trying to corrupt your thought life. If he can bring confusion, doubt, lies to your mind, he can influence your behavior. And he has drawn so many people away from Christ in this way. But although the devil is a very powerful and opposing force, he is not by any means, by any stretch of the imagination, as powerful as our God. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Remember, Satan is a created being. And unlike our great God, he's not all-powerful, he's not all-knowing, and he can't be everywhere at the same time. Furthermore, he has already been defeated by what Jesus has done for us on the cross. Yes, we still face an enemy. The enemy is real. We fight battles every day, but we fight with the knowledge of how the story is going to end. And how do we fight this spiritual enemy that we cannot see? As Ephesians 6 tells us, God has provided spiritual weapons for us to use in this mighty spiritual battle. And two of the most powerful ways you can defeat the enemy is by using the Word of God and prayer. As you face challenges of various kinds, let the Scripture be in your heart and in your mind and on your lips. And equally important, be faithful in prayer. This will not only strengthen your spirit, but it will increase your faith and unleash the power of God against the enemy. In the midst of the battle, remember that Jesus is praying for you. He ever lives to make intercession for his saints. Don't be troubled by the fact that the devil seeks to destroy you. Keep your eyes on Jesus and know that the victory in him is already won.
And that is today's PowerPoint. Remember, when you give a gift to PowerPoint, we'll send you Dr. Graham's book, Angels, as our thanks. Call 1-800-795-4627. That's 1-800-795-4627. You can also text the word PowerPoint to 313131. Text PowerPoint to 313131. And join us again next time as Dr. Graham brings a message about facing your fears. That's next time on PowerPoint with Jack Graham.
PowerPoint with Jack Graham is sponsored by PowerPoint Ministries.